That'd be a good thing to do. Listen, I can't get used to all this stuff, but I'm trying. Now, I'm glad to welcome to Crestview Baptist Church. Glad to have everybody here with us this morning. We're glad to have everybody who is watching online, everybody who will be listening to the sermon later. We're just so thankful for you tuning in and joining us this morning. We actually do have I have quite a few announcements, which is a big change. We're starting to build some steam back up, and we're starting to get back into a few things. I'm going to take care of Artie's announcements first, be sure I get those out of the way, and be sure I do those right. There's a deacon's meeting immediately after the service today. So if you are a deacon, I'm assuming it's going to be in here. Okay, probably back in the conference room after the service. So if you are a deacon, stick around for that. And Artie wanted to let you guys know that on August the 5th, he will begin a new series on Wednesdays at 6:30 called Harmony of the Gospels. Okay. Had a little doctor's hand right there at the bottom. Harmony of the Gospels. So look forward to that. And those Wednesday night things are, those series, I love those. I love to listen to any kind of series, and those are it's good to get into. And as far as youth goes, I do have a few announcements for the youth. I want to implore you to try to be here Wednesday night because we're going to be working on something. I've got some stuff together, and it's been hard to get a lot of people here to work on it. But this coming Thursday and August the 6th, we have an opportunity to be at Palmer Park in Shelby for an evangelism event. If it's just me there, then I will do the story the best I can, and enjoy being with those kids. But if you're comfortable with sending your youth out to that, we will meet at the church Thursday at 10 o'clock. We are going to go, and we are going to be presenting Daniel and the Lion's Den. I have a presentation together, and we are going to go over it Wednesday night. It's going to be very simple, and I know it's last minute, but the way things are different nowadays. So Wednesday night, if your youth can be here, we're going to work on that, and Thursday at 10 o'clock, we're going to leave. The event is from 11 to 1, and we're going to have lunch afterwards, which we'll pick it up at a drive-thru and probably eat it here. So that is coming up. And then this is a few weeks out. I just got this information this week. And if you want more information about how it's going to work, let me know. But since we didn't get to go to youth camp this summer, I got an email from the youth pastor at Hope Community Church, and they are sponsoring, and they have some other sponsors behind it, a thing called Ignite 2020, and it is a youth day camp. It's the same experiences that you would have at a youth camp during the day, except for you don't spend the night. It starts at 9:30 Monday through Thursday and goes to 6, and then on Friday it's from 9:30 to 1. It's a shortened day. They do have measures in place to make it safe. They're going to be taking temperatures. They're going to be encouraging social distancing. So if your youth are interested in that, and it can also be rising sixth graders. So if you're leaving the fifth grade, it's a good opportunity to jump into the youth group full swing. I have more information about it. It's more than I can talk about up here. So if you're interested in it, or youth are interested in it, please give me a call, send me a text, or talk to me after church. I don't think there's any more announcements other than Wednesday night, 6:30, Bible study like normal. And I'm just glad to see everybody. And here's Sandra.
We have come today to worship our risen Savior, Jesus. And the name Jesus is not to be taken lightly. God gave him that name. And the Bible tells us that this is a name that is above all other names. So let us stand and sing hymn number 206, Blessed Be the Name, verses 1 and 2. Would you stand?
Tongues to sing, blessed be the name of the Lord, the glories of his might and king. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be the name. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Jesus, the name that calms my fears. Blessed be the name of the Lord. 'Tis music in the sinner's ears. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen. Thank you.
Again, thank you for being here. And please don't think bad of me, but I've got to say hello to my son. He's watching online up there in Newport News. And I just want to say hi, Jonathan. And but we do have something serious to share with you. As many of you know, my parents are under quarantine right now. They have been exposed to the coronavirus. But we, this past week, we've also had our first church members that have tested positive for the coronavirus here. Tony and Rinda and Jacob Turnbill, all three have tested positive. They believe that Tony contracted it at work and without knowing it, brought it home, and Rinda and Jacob have now caught it. So please be in prayer for them. I talked to Rinda this morning. She said this is the sickest she's ever been. It started feeling like she had a sinus infection, then moved into where she couldn't taste anything or smell anything, and then started running a fever. And they got the test results back this past Friday for her and Jacob, and they both, too, are now positive as well. So please be in prayer for them. And we get told different things every time. I was told something different from my doctor. She said when I was there last week, they get told something different every week. But one thing about this, it is a real virus. It is very contagious. So just be in prayer for those that are dealing with this, and those with weakened immune systems are very susceptible to it. So please take precautions yourself. And just pray for Rinda and Tony and Jacob as they are dealing with this right now. To my knowledge, this is our first church members that have contracted. But we did find out last week also that we do have a church member whose daughter lives up toward the mountains, and their church had not stopped meeting, had not taken precautions, and they had to shut the entire church down because they had so many people contract the virus. So please be in prayer for the churches as well as we continue to meet and continue to seek to do God's will. And one thing about it, this virus, I'll be honest with you, I can't stand it. I hate wearing a mask. I hate doing the social distancing thing. I am a hugger. I am chubby, big boned, and I am built to give hugs. What are you guys laughing about? I'm fat and I like to hug, okay? I have been told my whole life that I give good hugs. I'm a hugger, and this is driving me crazy because I can't hug people. But you know what? God's still in control. And there is nothing this virus, our government, or anybody else can do to knock him off his throne. And he is going to stay there. Whether or not we like it, he's going to stay there, and he is the one in control. We don't have to understand. We just have to believe. So I'm asking you to have faith that God is in control of the situation. And just pray for those that are dealing with these things right now. Pray for our church. Pray for us as we have some important decisions to make over the next few weeks. Because we're going to have to do things a lot differently than we've done them in the past. So at this time, please join me in prayer as we go to the Lord. Our blessed Heavenly Father, we come before you praising you for being God Almighty. You are the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And dear Lord, even though we may not understand why you allow things to happen, we accept the fact that a lot of the things that we deal with is because of sin in the world, because of our choosing our own way instead of your way. Dear Lord, it was not the way you designed things to be. But because of our selfish nature, our sinful nature, dear Lord, we have to deal with diseases and viruses and death. But dear Lord, you have given us a way to rise above all of those things. You have given us your Son, Jesus Christ. And dear Lord, you have renewed our relationship with you through him. And we praise you for him. We praise you for the fact that you loved us when we were unlovable. Dear Lord, and you made a way for us to cleanse ourselves in the blood of Jesus Christ. And dear Lord, right now, as we are seeing the effects of this virus within our own family here at Crestview, we lift the Turnbills up to you, dear Lord. Put a hedge of protection around them, dear Lord. Strengthen their bodies so that they may be able to fight this virus. Give them the peace to know that you are with them and that they are being prayed for, dear Lord, right now. Be with those in Keystone Heights, Florida, that at Trinity Baptist Church that have been exposed and going through the 14-day quarantine, dear Lord. I just pray for them. We lift that church up to you, dear Lord, as they have been a lighthouse in that community. And dear Lord, we pray for the church in the mountains that have had to shut their doors for a short time because of the virus that is striking there. Dear Lord, regardless of what we believe, what we're told, what we see, there is only one absolute truth, dear Lord, and that is you and your word. And that is where we put our faith, dear Lord, right now. And as we go through this time, whether we're here in person or watching online, dear Lord, we are gathered together in your name. And you promise us in your word that if two or more are gathered in your name, that you will be in the midst of them. And dear Lord, we praise you for the fact that you are here with us right now. Dear Lord, may your Holy Spirit move among your people and open our ears and our hearts so that we may receive your word and that we may be able to worship you freely this morning. And dear Lord, just for this short time, please block out all distractions of everyday life so that we may focus on you for this short time. And dear Lord, may you receive all honor and glory for everything that's done and said here today. And it's in your holy and precious name we pray. Amen.
my microphone comes off when my mask comes off. So, if you're at home watching, I ask you to pull your kids in close this morning as we go into our children's sermon. And we have a whole family of wonderful kids back there in the back, and have a few kids up here in the front. And I'm just glad to have everybody with us this morning. I brought something. I missed everybody last week, but I was at the beach. I did have a lot of fun while we were there some. And between sitting on the beach, watching my kids play, counting heads poking above the water every 30 seconds, I sat there and I watched the ocean and the majesty and the power of God's ocean. While we were out there, I stepped on something, and I found a shell like I have never found before. I've seen them in stores, but I've never been out and actually found one that looked like this on the beach. And I found that, and actually it was in the water, not on the beach. I stepped on it, and I thought, man, that is a cool-looking shell. And so I kept it, obviously, to remind me of God's wonderful creation. And while I was down there the whole week, I mean, God's just pulling at me, and he's just talking to me, and I just thought about how powerful the ocean was. The ocean, storms are created over the oceans that tear whole islands apart. The waters and the waves and the rains that form over the ocean. You sit there and watch it, and the waves beat on the seashore. And as the tide comes in and out, it moves the earth, literally moves the earth in and out with it. And I know everybody's dug a hole at the beach as the tide rolls in. And you can dig a hole, it doesn't matter how deep it is. But when the waves start crashing on it, the sand just fills that hole up. And got me thinking, if the ocean's that powerful, how powerful and how in control is a God who controls the ocean? I read several verses. We talked about this Wednesday night. This is what we did with the youth Wednesday night. Genesis 1, 6, starting with verse 6, it says, "Then God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and he called the waters sea. So everything, and he saw everything was good." God created this powerful force. And if God created something as powerful as the ocean, what I want you to think about this week, especially as we're going through such difficult times as a church and in our families and as a nation, and not just a nation, as the world as a whole. The world is literally changing around us, like the ocean changes the sea every day. I want you to think about how awesome and how powerful God is. This is kind of off that subject, but I mentioned how the world is changing around us. And I wanted to share something that our principal sent out in an email. And he said that education, we know it, has changed forever. And we cannot look at this year the way we've looked at any other year. Because things are changing so much around us, and that's scary. But the one force that doesn't change, the one person that doesn't change around us is God. And he created everything that we see, and he is in control of everything that's going on. He lets things happen. He allows things to happen. But he is ultimately in control, and we have to remember to put that trust on him. So as you go out this week, I want you to remember to trust God, because he is in control. Just know that I love you, kids, if you're watching at home and if you're here. And I miss everyone. Let's bow our heads and go, Lord, in prayer. God, thank you for this day. Thank you for allowing us to be here today and for allowing us to worship and serve you. Lord, as we go out into the world, help us to remember that you are in complete control. If you created something as powerful as the ocean, there's nothing in this world that you are not in control of. And help us to remember that. All this we ask in your name. Amen.
You know, if we get to dwelling on what's going on, it can be very depressing. So I'm going to add to that depression by asking you, have you gone through any of these situations? During your lifetime, have you had a dream to just get crushed? For whatever reason, you were not able to fulfill your dream. Have you yourself gone through a sickness, or you're waiting on test results right now, and it's scary? Maybe you've lost a loved one through death or through separation. Your job came to an end. And for the younger people, you did not get into the school of your dreams. How about the mess that our world is in right now? But God gave us a gift, and that gift is prayer. In the Bible, we're told to lift one another up through prayer, to encourage one another. When you're going through one of these trials, the best news you can receive is you go to the mailbox and you've got this beautiful card in there. And the card, you know, rhymes perfectly. But they end the card by saying, "I'm praying for you." That's what gets you through another day. But when you are the one going through these struggles, and you've prayed and you've prayed and you've prayed, and you get to that point where I just can't pray anymore. I don't know what else to say. And you're just at a loss for words. Thank you, Lord, that we've got a church family that's praying for you.
Given up when I had lost sight.
thing that I could not say. Somebody showed me the face of his majesty. Darkness was all I could see. Somebody pleaded the blood of Jesus. Somebody prayed.
Thank you, choir, for that. I hope everybody understands what is being said in this sermon today and doesn't misinterpret this. And I want you to understand that every church deals with an issue. Last week, we talked about the biblical qualifications for leaders in the church, especially the position of deacons. But what we have to realize is that those qualifications not only apply to the office of deacon, but apply to all church leadership inside the church. Anybody that serves as a leader inside the church, including the pastor and the staff. We need to apply those qualifications to all leadership within the church. So today, I want to talk about our responsibility to our leaders. How do we treat them? How should we treat our leaders within the church? When you hear, and you can respond to this, when you hear the word authority, obey, or submit, what do you think? I know that if I was up here and I was preaching on relationships with husbands and wives, and I got to the point of, wives, submit yourselves to the husband as unto the Lord, every woman in this church would go, let's face it. Are these words, obey, submit, authority, are they comforting? Do we receive comfort for these words? Do we receive security? Or do they cause us to get our guards up? Most people would say that when you hear these words, you automatically put up your guard. Why is that? Well, in actuality, we have issues. Not only because of our sinful nature, are we egocentric. What I mean by that is that we think about ourselves first because of our sinful nature. But let's look at this. Our country was actually founded on a rebellion against authority. Even if it was unjust authority, it was still founded on a rebellion. We have a national spirit of rebellion. We focus on individual rights here in America, don't we? Everyone has rights. That was the reason for the American Revolution in the first place, is that we wanted equal rights. We wanted the same rights that they had over in England. So we had a revolution. We rebelled against that. And all Americans have this innate nature in them that we will not, we don't have to submit to authority. And then you throw in the fact that we are also, our culture today is influenced by postmodernism, which says that there is no absolute truth. It's just whatever you interpret truth to being, that's okay for you. Doesn't matter what you believe, as long as you believe it wholeheartedly, that is your truth, and it is your right to interpret that truth, and you are okay. And because of that, we say, Paul, whatever you want to believe, that's fine. You can believe your truth, but don't think I have to believe your truth. We run into that as Christians a lot, especially when we go out and we try to evangelize. Why do I have to believe that? That's not what I believe. Why do I have to believe what you believe? That's the influence of postmodernism on our culture. And then on top of that, you add in the Baptist. Baptists were the ones that introduced the congregational church government. Before that, it was whatever the priest said or the elder said. But in the Baptist church, when we have a decision to make, who makes that decision? Come on, you guys know the answer. Who? The congregation. Before this virus hit, what did we have every third Sunday night? A business meeting. And what did we do in those business meetings? We talked about issues, and we voted on those as a congregation. That is what makes Baptists different. But it also is what keeps us from submitting to authority. You think about this. If a Baptist, someone in a Baptist church, gets upset, they get mad at a decision that was made, they get mad at the preacher, they get mad at a deacon, are they going to submit to that authority? No. What are they going to do? They're either going to go to a new church, start a new church, or get new leadership. You guys realize that Baptists are notorious for splitting over silly things. The color of the carpet. Who shook whose hand? Who didn't get spoke to? Things that don't really matter. Those are things that we make into huge issues because of our refusal to submit to authority. Now, please understand this. I am not talking about dictatorship. That is the downside to what we're preaching about today, is that some people interpret it, that it, they interpret this idea of pastoral authority or leadership authority as being a dictatorship, that they can choose and do what they want and everybody else has to follow. That is not what I'm saying at all. But I'm talking about is that we, as American Baptist Christians, have issues with authority and how we relate to authority. How many of you have heard this? He's not my president. in the last 3 years. Have anybody ever heard that? Well, I hate to break it to you. Whether or not you voted for our current president, if you are an American citizen, guess what? He is your president. His title is President of the United States. I am not saying that as a political statement. I am saying that as a fact. Just like some people may say, he's not my pastor. If you're a member of the church, whoever is the pastor of that church, guess what? He is your pastor. That's just a fact. Because we choose not to obey or place ourselves under the authority does not mean that that person's position stops being. It is what I want us to focus on is ourselves today. Not the quality of leadership, but our responsibility to that leadership. Okay? And so that brings us to our text today. And that I want you to turn to this. It is Hebrews chapter 13, verses 17 through 22. And those of you in the congregation this morning, if you would please stand as we read this. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 17 through 22, it says this: obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we are sure that we have a good conscience, desiring to conduct ourselves honorably in all things. And I urge you all the more to do this, that I may be restored to you sooner. Now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, equip you in every good thing to do his will, working in us, which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. But I urge you, brethren, bear with this word of exhortation, for I have written to you briefly. Please join me in prayer. Blessed Heavenly Father, thank you for what we find in your scriptures, your holy word. Help us to understand what you are saying to us through these scriptures. And we ask all of this in the holy and precious name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Our first duty is to obey godly church leaders. Okay, I want you to understand. I want you to read what is up there on that screen right now. Notice what it says. What type of church leaders? Godly church leaders. Godly church leaders. We're going to talk about that. And I want you to look at how these things are described in this scripture. Hebrews 13, 17a says, obey your leaders and submit to them. Right off the bat, we have an issue with this passage. But I want you to understand something, that obedience and submission are two sides of the same coin. They're not different. We look at those possibly as being different, but they're not. Obedience is dealing with our actions. Submission deals with our attitude. And we have to obey with the right attitude. We have the same responsibility to Christ. If we disobey, normally we have the wrong attitude about it in the first place. But sometimes we obey and still have a bad attitude about it. I don't want to do this, but I'm going to do it because I'm standing up on the outside, but I'm sitting down on the inside. And you guys laugh because most of you have had to deal with teenagers or preteens. That happens. That happens within adults. When we say yes to something and then we go back when everybody else is gone and we're complaining about it in a hallway after a vote's been taking place in the sanctuary. And we don't like it and we start complaining about it as soon as we hit those doors. That's the wrong attitude. It is. You should obey godly leaders because they are responsible for you and are held accountable to God. The second part of that verse, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. We have to think about this. What's the purpose of authority? To protect and serve those under authority. Now I'm going to make another statement that may sound political to certain people, and I apologize that you see it that way, but it's not. On police cars, what does it say on there, on the side of a police car? To protect and to serve. Understand me, I understand that we have some bad police. Not here in the county, but there are such things as a bad policeman that misuse their authority. But I also understand that there's a lot more that take their calling as a police officer very seriously, and they see their job as just that, to protect and to serve. That is that's the purpose of all authority. Even within the church, the purpose is ultimately, the authority in a church is who? God the Father. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. It says it many times in the scriptures. But then he also places an under-shepherd in the church. And the purpose of that under-shepherd or the pastor of the church and also the deacons is to protect and serve the congregation. So we get back to the godly leader. If they are doing it for the right reasons, you're not going to have an issue with it. The same way with a husband and wife. When we talk about wives, submit yourselves to your husband as unto the Lord. It doesn't just say that. People get caught up on that and they're, I'm not submitting. But listen, if the husband is being the husband that God has created him to be and called him to be, and doing exactly what Scripture says, where it says that he will love his wife just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her and builds her up, the wife will have no issue submitting to the authority of the husband because the husband is loving the church. The same way that as a pastor and deacons and leadership of the church, we should love the members of this church to a point where we are willing to die for them. That we suffer with them. And when you have somebody that is a godly leader, you will have no issues submitting to that because you are placing yourself under the protection of that authority. I want you to notice something else that it says. Does it say obey your leader? Is that what it says? In 17, verse 17, look at your Bibles. Does it say no, it says leaders. It's plural. It's plural on purpose because the church was set up not to have one ultimate leader over the church. That one ultimate leader is Jesus Christ, but here on earth, it is set up to have multiple leaders. The pastor, deacons, working together in one accord. And listen, when you have deacons and pastors that are struggling with an issue, with a problem within the church, and they spend time talking about that, not only among themselves, but praying and talking to God about that issue. And when they come to a unanimous decision, and they bring that decision before the church, and you know that it's been wrestled with and prayed about, and they come into one accord and present that issue to the church, you can rest assured that that is God's will, because they have spent time doing exactly what God has called them to do. And that is to protect and serve the church. And thus, you should have no issue with obeying that or submitting to that authority. But it's not just one person in a dictatorship telling everybody, you do this or you're gone. No, that is not right. If that's the issue you run into, you need to get out of it. You should obey godly leaders because you can cause yourselves problems if you don't. The last part of verse 17. Let them do this with joy, not with grief, for this would be unprofitable to you. Again, God has designed authority as protection, an umbrella of protection over those under the authority. And when you take yourself outside of that authority, you open yourselves up to be attacked by whatever Satan wants to throw at you. And the Bible is very clear. Paul tells us that what? That Satan is like a roaming lion. And that he is constantly throwing fiery darts at us. It's a simple explanation. When it starts raining outside and you walk outside, what happens to you? You get wet. You get hit by the raindrops. But if somebody places an umbrella over your head and you walk outside, do you get wet? No, because that umbrella stops those raindrops from hitting you. Same thing. When we're under the umbrella of protection, a lot of those things, you guys have seen those memes, and where this man, he's sitting there and he gets hit with a rock, and he starts crying, God, why did you let that happen to me? And then the next picture shows Jesus standing there, getting pelted with rocks. And he turns around and he goes, oh, sorry, I missed that one. Here's the thing that I have issue with that. God's not going to miss anything. But sometimes he allows something to get past to test us, to test our faith, to cause us to grow. But the thing is that when we place ourselves under the authority of Jesus Christ, he is going to keep Satan at bay. As long as we stay within that authority. You should obey church leaders by obeying the exhortations from God's word. Now, you guys are going to find this one funny. Hebrews 13:22. But I urge you, brethren, bear with the word of exhortation. This word for bear is translated endure. So basically what this scripture is saying is that you need to endure my sermons. See, I told you you're going to think it was funny. But that's not actually what it's talking about. Even though that's what it says, that you should bear through or endure a sermon, that you should endure a lesson, that's not what it's talking about, because that picture that we have is that you're sitting there bored out of your mind and you're listening and you're just looking at your watch saying, well, when is this going to be over? That's not what it's talking about, actually. What is not, it's actually the whole picture of this thing is this, is that the idea is that we stick with sound doctrinal teaching because it often confronts how we think and live. It's not about what we want to hear, ear tickling, but it's about what we need to hear. So that's what it's saying, is that we need to bear with it. We need to seek that out, and we need to listen, even though it may not make us comfortable. The air conditioner's job is to make you comfortable. The pastor's job or the deacon's job is not to make you comfortable. It is to tell you what God has to say. And sometimes we have conflicts of, or actually, what do they call it? A conflict of faith. With what we're doing comes face to face with what God says, and we have an issue. That's what it's talking about. I have said this many times, that we've watered down a lot of things to make it socially acceptable, to make things comfortable for people, but that's not what we are to do. We are to stand on the one absolute truth, and that is the Word of God, and we are to say it with love. Not compromise it, but speak the truth in love, and that's what a godly leader is supposed to do. They are supposed to exhort you according to Scripture. They're supposed to urge you to live a godly life. And sometimes we have issues with that because it comes in direct conflict with what we want. But we're supposed to endure that because it's what we need, not necessarily what we want. And then your duty is to pray for your godly leaders. Verse 18a, it says, pray for us. Paul once again urges his readers to pray for him and for those over them. Leadership is a very heavy burden to bear, especially in the church. Not only do the leaders, and this is going to sound cliche, but not only do the leaders bear and feel the pain of those that they are serving. When you hurt, we hurt. There are many times that our hearts, me and the deacons, our hearts have been broken for someone that is dealing with something in our church. Many times that it has brought us to tears. But not only do we have to carry the burden of what is going on with you, but we also have to carry the burdens of what is going on in our personal lives. And many times, that weight is what is carried alone. Because we cannot share everything. Thankfully, we have a group of deacons that talk and share with each other. I am able to talk with our staff. I am also able to talk with other pastors in our association and our associational leadership. That they are constantly praying and making intercession for each other. But I want you to understand that we need your prayers. That song that the choir sings, Somebody Prayed for Me, there is no possible way that anybody could serve as a deacon for 3 years or serve as a pastor for any amount of time and do it with their own power. They need prayers. And trust me, we can feel it. When we are being prayed for, we can feel it. And I can't tell you what it feels like to stand there and have somebody pray over you or hear them mention your name in prayer. It is a humbling experience, but it is also an encouraging experience because you know that God answers prayers and that He is going to be with you. Pray for your leaders in the battle to maintain a good conscience in all things. The second part of that verse, verse 18, for we are sure that we have a good conscience. Pray that the leader will be confident in the direction they are leading. The doctrine they are teaching and how they are conducting themselves are all pleasing to God, and thus giving them a clear conscience. It would be very easy to get a big head about being in a position of authority. And it happens. But pray for your leaders so that they are able to live their lives in a way that exemplifies Christ. They are going to make mistakes because they are only human. We all make mistakes. It's how we deal with those mistakes that makes us different, because we don't make a mistake and say, oh, you got to deal with it. We make a mistake, and a godly leader will always ask for forgiveness, and they will seek to learn from it, and they will continue to follow God. And then pray for your leaders to be delivered from circumstances or difficulties beyond their control. The last part of that verse, desiring to conduct ourselves honorably in all things. We are dealing with the biggest thing that that we've ever had to deal with. All of this stuff that's going on right now is all outside of our control. We have no control over it. None. And I'll be honest with you, it has been one of the most difficult things to deal with. I've already told you I'm a hugger, so this social distancing stuff is driving me crazy. But the fact that no matter what decision is made, what is thrown at us, there is going to be somebody that doesn't like it. We're either not doing enough to protect people, or we're not doing, or that we're doing way too much and we're going overboard with it. One of the two. It is within our control, and all you need to do is pray for your leaders so that they make the right decision for the people. Make the right decisions. We are constantly faced with situations that are outside of our control. And decisions are being made. And none of them are being made lightly. We will be electing two new deacons at some point within the near future. Pray about who it is that God wants in those positions. It's not a popularity contest. I said this last week. But it's a chance for us to earnestly seek God's will and putting the people that need to serve this church, that God wants to serve this church, and then continue to pray for all the leaders in this church that have been voted into place by this church. They were not appointed, but they were elected by this church to serve them. From me all the way down to people that are on committees. They are not just on those committees by chance. They were voted upon by this church. Also, pray for yourself that you would be able to support those leaders the way that God wants you to support your leaders. They are not there by accident. Whether or not you voted for that particular person, they are not there by accident, but they have been ordained to be there by God. Why do I say that? Because the Bible says it. That there is nobody in authority that God did not place them there. Just pray that God's will be done by those in authority and by the congregation, and submitting and obeying the authority that has been placed over them. Again, I am not talking about dictatorship. I am talking about what the Bible says and what our responsibility is to those that are in authority over us. Thank you for being here. this morning. Thank you for joining us online. Deacons, don't forget that we are having a meeting immediately following the service. And deacons, if we could do that down in the prayer room, so we don't have to go over into this end of the building, but just down here in the prayer room. And I also need to mention this. Church, thank you for your faithfulness in continuing to give. We were able to get the new air condition placed in the Sunday school hallway. It took them 3 days to do that work. It's a big unit, but we were able to pay for it 100% because of the faithfulness of our church. And we thank you for that. So if you'd please, I'm going to ask David if he wouldn't mind dismissing us, our chairman of the deacon, if you wouldn't mind dismissing us in prayer this morning. Let's pray.
Those who are called.